ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. సదాశివసమారంభాం శంకరాచార్య మధ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్య పర్యంతాం వందే గురు పరంపరాం. సద్గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. బ్రహ్మసూత్రాస్ చాప్టర్ 4 పాద 3 అర్చిరాధ్యతికరణం. అర్చిరాదినా తత్ప్రతితే వాయువధికరణం. వాయుం అబ్దాత్ అవిశేష విశేషాభ్యాం. తడిదధికరణం. తడిత అధి వరుణ సంబంధాత్. ఆతివాహికాధికరణం. ఆతివాహికా తల్లింగాత్. ఉభయ వ్యామోహాత్ తత్సిద్ధే. వైద్యుతే నైవ తత తశ్రుతే. కార్యాధికరణం. కార్యం బాదరిహి అస్య గతి ఉపపత్తే. వి సా అప్ టు దిస్ సూత్ర ఇన్ ది లాస్ట్ క్లాస్. దట్ ఇస్ ద 7th సూత్ర, 3rd పాద, 4th చాప్టర్, 524th రన్నింగ్ బ్రహ్మసూత్ర. నౌ వి విల్ కంటిన్యూ విత్ ది నెక్స్ట్ సూత్ర టుడే. విశేషితత్వాచ్చ. విశేషితత్వాచ్చ 8th సూత్ర, 3rd పాద, 4th చాప్టర్, 525th రన్నింగ్ బ్రహ్మసూత్ర. సో అన్ ఆర్గ్యుమెంట్ ఇన్ సపోర్ట్ ఆఫ్ ది ప్రీవియస్ సూత్ర దట్ వి కవర్డ్ ఇన్ ద లాస్ట్ క్లాస్ ఇస్ అడ్యూస్డ్. హియర్ బాదరి ఆచార్య హీ గివ్స్ ఫర్దర్ సపోర్ట్ టు హిస్ కన్క్లూషన్. హీ సేస్ వెన్ఎవర్ దర్ ఈస్ వేగ్నెస్ ఇన్ ఎనీ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ వేద, you look for similar teaching in any other part of Veda. If you scan the Upanishad, you will get clarity. And Badari says, in the 6th chapter, 2nd section, 15th mantra of Brahadaranyaka Upanishad, the idea is clear. There is a statement, te teshu brahma lokeshu paraha paravataha vasanti. Here we get clarity. First, the word Brahma Lokeshu is mentioned, which indicates the Upasaka goes to a particular loka. Brahma Lokeshu is in plural number, indicating the different regions of Brahma Loka. And this is possible only in Karyam Brahman and not in Karanam Brahman. And different regions are not there in Param Brahman, Karanam Brahman, which is beyond Desha and Kala. So, Brahmanaha Advaitatvat. This also indicates the Adhara or Ashraya. So, from this it is clear that Upasaka goes to a place and lives there. There is locus, it's a located reality. This is also possible in Vyavahara Prapancha, Vyavahara Brahmaloka. But in Parambrahman, there is no question of Adhara Adheya division. Therefore also, Upasaka goes to Brahmaloka and not to Brahma. Vishnu and Shiva Lokas are other names of Brahmaloka also. Going to any of the Lokas does not amount to moksha or liberation. Brahmaloka is called Vishloka from Vishnu Bhakta's angle and Shivaloka from the Shiva Bhakta's angle. All three are finite lokas only requiring travel. They have nothing to do with liberation. Now let us do the word analysis of this sutra. Visheshitatvatcha. Visheshitatvat, from descriptions of the destination found elsewhere, cha means also this is valid. Now let us see the significance of the words. This is just the sutra, cryptic. Visheshitatvat, further description that Brahma Lokeshu, that sentence we saw earlier, is based on Brihadaranyaka Upanishad Vakyam. Cha also. So one reason has already been given in the previous sutra that we saw in the last class. Now we have given Shruti Pramanam. What is the conclusion? The conclusion is Badari argument alone is correct. The word Brahman occurring in Chandogya Upanishad refers to Hiranyagarbha only, and that is valid because of the additional reason. So it is not Param Brahman that is the doubt that is cleared here. Now we will go to the next sutra. Karyadhikaranam samipyatu tad vyapadeshaha. Ninth sutra, fourth pada, fourth chapter, third pada, fourth chapter, 525th running sutra. Here Vyasacharya answers 526th running Brahma Sutra. So here Vyasacharya answers a grammatical doubt of Purvapakshi. Normally, Param Brahman is revealed by Brahman, which is the absolute. And in Sanskrit language, it is in neuter gender, Brahman. It refers to Karanam Brahman. When we refer to Karyam Brahman, Hiranyagarbha, we use masculine gender. The word Brahman is there in masculine version. Then we write the word as Brahma. It is Chaturmukha Brahma. It is difficult to differentiate the short Brahma and Brahma. So we have created our own convention. And when we want to indicate neuter Brahman, we call it as Brahman. And when we want to refer to Karyam Brahman, we take the G suffix from Hindi language and we call it Brahma G. He gets respected. So Purvapakshi says, in Brihadaranyaka Upanishads, in the fourth chapter, 15th section, fifth mantra, the word Brahman is shorter Brahman. Then how can you say it is Karyam Brahma? And Vyasacharya says, this is only convention that Brahma can be used only for Param Brahman and not for Hiranyagarbha. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the neuter gender is used to denote Brahman only. Therefore, we have to see the context. Upanishad itself develops a confusion. Upanishad does not rigidly follow that also. It is so because Vyasacharya says Upanishad does not intend to confuse, but uses the word loosely. Because Param Brahman and Hiranyagarbha are not totally different entities. If you really look at it objectively, the very same Nirgunam Brahman, Param Brahman, with Namarupa or with Vesham, we can call it, it plays the role of Brahman. It is only Vesha Bedaha and not Veshi Bedaha. That is why Shankaracharya also uses the word Brahman and Ishwara very loosely in his Bhashyams also. So even though normally the word Brahman is Nirgunam and Ishwara is Sagunam, Shankaracharya also uses the word loosely. The general convention is what? Brahman is Nirgunam and Ishwara is Sagunam. And there is no rigid rule. It can either way, it can be used depending on the context. It is because of the closeness in their essential nature. Now let us see the word analysis of this sutra. Samipyatu tadvyapadeshaha. Tu means however. Tadvyapadeshaha, the usage of the word Brahman for Hiranyagarbha. Samipyat is because of its closeness. This is the running name. Now let us see the significance of the words. Samipyat refers to closeness. The closeness between Param Brahman and Karyam Brahman. And Param Brahman and Hiranyagarbha, we can say it also, because of this closeness. Tu means however, even though according to general convention, we should have used the word Brahman, but still violating general convention, he does this. Tadvyapadeshaha, usage of word Brahman, neuter Brahman, instead of Hiranyagarbha. That's what is done. Therefore, conclusion is what? Upasaka doesn't go to Param Brahman, but he goes to only Hiranyagarbha, Brahma Loka. Let us go to the next sutra. Karyatyaye tat adhyakshena saha ataha param abhidanat. Long sutra. Karyatyaye tat adhyakshena saha ataha param abhidanat. And the individual soul, it's final, the jiva's final absorption in the Param Brahman or the absolute is now stated here in this sutra. Now let us give the general analysis of this sutra. It's a very important sutra. Here Vyasacharya reconciles two important Shruti teachings That is Veda teachings, Upanishad teachings, that Upasaka will go to finite Brahmaloka only. A Upasaka will go to finite Brahmaloka only. He will not attain Parambrahma. Upasaka attains Anitya Palam only. It is not Nitya Palam. Even if he goes to Brahmaloka, it is still Anitya Palam only, temporary Palam only. This we have logically established, but it creates a serious problem though. In several Shruti statements, that Upasaka reaches the destination from which there is no return is mentioned. Upasaka reaches a destination from which there is no return. That means Upasaka attains Nitya Palam Moksha. Several Upanishads, Shruti statements, they say that. Also, the Upanishad says in several places, the Upasaka attains Amritatvam, which also means Nitya Palam. We have seen similar instances earlier. Until we established Brahmaloka or Hiranyagarbha is finite. So then it will also be understood as Nitya Palam only. So we have to establish Brahmaloka or Hiranyagarbha Loka is finite. So we have got Shruti statements that Upasaka goes to non-returnable reality. For example, if you see Chandogya Upanishad, 4th chapter, 15th section, 6th mantra. We have seen this mantras all earlier. Tat purushaha amanavaha saha yenan brahma gamayati. Yesha deva pato brahma pata yetena pratipadhyamana imam manavam avartam na avartante na avartante. So Upasaka after death reaches a destination from where he does not return, na avartante, to this Manishya Loka or Manu Nirmita Loka. Manishya Loka is Manu Nirmita Loka, the Loka created by Manu. Means he is liberated. In Kathopanishad also, in the second chapter, third section, 16th mantra says, this mantra also we have seen earlier, Shatanchaika cha hridayasya nadyas nadyaha tasam murdhanam abhi nishritayaka. Tayodvam ayanne amritatvameti. So that is also another statement which means the Upasaka travels through Shuklagati and attains immortality. Amritatvam yeti. So this refers to Parambrahman only. Therefore, these two Shruti Vakyam say Upasaka goes to Parambrahman. Now the question is, which is correct? Whether Upasaka goes to Karyam Brahman, Hiranyagarbha, Brahmaloka or Parambrahman. Parambrahman cannot be reached through travel. Parambrahman cannot be reached through a travel. We say both are correct. He goes to Karyam Brahman first and thereafter he goes to Parambrahman. So through Shukla Gati, this Upasaka, he reaches Karyam Brahman, Hiranyagarbha, Brahmaloka, and thereafter he attains Parambrahman through Jnanam. So you have said Parambrahman cannot be reached by travel. So if you accept this, he travels to Parambrahman from here itself, when he can travel up to Karyam Brahman and from there to Parambrahman without any travel. That is what it means. He goes to Karyam Brahman, Brahmaloka, Hiranyagarbha, and from there to Parambrahman without travel after gaining Jnanam. Now the next question is, if you say he goes to Karyam Brahman, Brahmaloka, from there he goes to Parambrahman without travel, then your fundamental premise will go that Jnana Deva Kaivalyam, that Jnanam alone gives liberation. That too, Nirguna Brahma Jnanam or Aikya Jnanam alone will give a liberation. That's what you said. And if you talk about Upasaka, he does not have Nirguna Brahma Jnanam at all. Now you say that Ajnani Upasaka goes to Karya Brahma Loka through travel and from there he goes to Parambrahman, you say. And if he attains Parambrahman as Ajnani Upasaka, then there will be violation of the fundamental principle that he can reach without travel. For this, Advaitin says, I don't want to violate the principle that none can get moksha without Aikya Jnana. That principle, nobody can get moksha without Aikya Jnana. But Upanishad says that he attains Parambrahman. For this, we supply a clause that in Brahmaloka, Ajnani Upasaka attains Brahma Jnanam in Brahma Loka, and through that Jnanam, without travel, he attains Parambrahma. Now we know how Upasaka travels up to finite destination, Brahma Loka, that we saw elaborately yesterday. And thereafter, he attains moksha without travel by gaining jnanam in Brahmaloka. Then when the prarabdha is over, he attains videha mukti, and this procedure we call as krama mukti. So he gets krama mukti because he reached by this krama. And then after death, he gets videha mukti also. We have to derive by applying several principles to gain krama mukti. Upanishad does not say, but we have to derive this fact. We saw all the stages, so many stations, 13, 14 stations, all that. Now I will give you the verse analysis of this sutra. Karyatyaye tad adhyakshena saha ataha param abhidhanat. 10th sutra, 3rd pada, 4th chapter. Karyatyaye, at the time of pralaya, param ataha. Upasaka attains Parambrahman, which is superior to Hiranyagarbha. Saha tat adhyakshena, along with the Lord of Brahmaloka, that is Hiranyagarbha, along with that Lord, he also attains the superior, the Parambrahman, along with the Lord at the time of pralaya. At the time of pralaya, along with the Hiranyagarbha, this Upasaka also, who has attained Krama Mukti, he will attain also the Parambrahman. Abhidhanath. This is known from Shruti statements. Hiranyagarbha also will attain Brahman, and along with him, the Upasaka who has become a Jnani in Brahmaloka will also gain liberation without travel. Abhidhanat, this is stated in Shruti Vakya. Thus, for the question, will Upasaka attain Mukti or not? We will say he will gain Krama Mukti and he will go to Brahmaloka. And he will become Jnani there and will gain liberation after gaining Jnanam in Brahmaloka also. Let us go to the next sutra. Smritescha. Simple sutra. Smritescha. 11th sutra, 3rd pada, 4th chapter. 527th running Brahma Sutra. So here, an argument in support of Sutra 10. That is the previous sutra that is adduced. And Badari, he says, wherever there is doubt regarding Shruti statement, we generally take resort to Smriti Vakya. We have supplied an idea that Upasaka goes to Brahmaloka and he gets Jnanam there and gain liberation. And there is no Shruti Pramanam for this. We have logical support, but we do not have Shruti Pramanam. The distance here is ignorance. The distance between Jiva and Brahman is what? In any loka, needs only an unique travel. What is the travel? Ignorance distance. It is an ignorance, that is it. Ignorance is gone, then he attains. So it is ignorance distance, we can call. And it is understanding and intellectual travel. If Upasaka attains Brahman, it means he should gain that knowledge. And if he does not gain the knowledge here, we say he can gain the knowledge in Brahmaloka. If he has not gained it in this loka, Manishya loka, when he goes through Shukalagati and all and reaches Brahmaloka, there he can gain the knowledge. And sage Badri says that there is Smriti Pramanam in support of this statement. Even though Shruti Pramanam was not directly given, there is Smriti Pramanam. It is a vakyam from Kurma Puranam. Kurma Puranam, 12th chapter, 269th shloka. And the shloka says, Brahmanasaha te sarve samprapte pratisanchare parasyante kritatmanaha pravishanti parampadam. Brahmanasaha te sarve samprapte pratisanchare parasyante kritatmanaha pravishanti parampadam. So Parasya is actually refers to Hiranyagarbha, and it is during the end of Brahmaloka or Hiranyagarbha, Marana Kale, at the time of Pralaya, Pratisanchare, when everything including Hiranyagarbha dissolves, all Upasakas, Parampadam Pravishanti, they also attain Paramapadam, which Visishtadvaitins they talk about. At the time of Pralaya, all these people also gain Paramapadam. And we will say they are Upasakas and they go to the, that is why symbolically it is shown that during Vaikuntha Ekadasi, these are Upasakas, they go through the northern gate and go to Brahmaloka, and from there they gain moksha. Brahmaloka, Vaikuntha, they go, gain moksha. So Kritatmanaha, so Jnaninaha, Bhutva, having become Nirguna Jnanis, Jivatma Paramatma Jnani, they become and gain liberation in that place, Brahmaloka, at the time of Pralaya. And how they become Jnani, Upanishad does not say. It is taken on the basis of logic only. We say there they will get Guru Upadesham and all that thing we have to understand. Who is the Guru? We don't know. And therefore, we assume Brahmaji himself takes classes and teach Brahma Jnana. So they can be direct students of Brahmaji himself. These are all things we say because no Guru is mentioned directly. There is no direct pramanam to say Upasaka goes to a Guru and who is the Guru, etc. All those are not said. But we know they have Guru Upadesha and gain knowledge, because without that one cannot gain knowledge. And we also admit in extraordinary cases, they get knowledge also easily. So first one is Sutra 8. There Badari quotes here, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad mantra. That's very clear mantra. Whenever there is a vague mantra, as I told also earlier, Acharya looks for a clear mantra. Badari makes a statement that even though neutral gender refers to Parambrahman only, there are occasions that the same word is used for Hiranyagarbha also. So in the class I said that there are examples. And I quoted a Brihadaranyaka Upanishad mantra also. And I will give the reference. And that mantra is 5, chapter 5, 4th section, first mantra of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. And this section deals with the meditation or upasana on Satyam Brahman. Tadvai tadeda devam tadasa satyameva saha yohaitam mahadyaksham pratamajam vedam satyam brahmeti jayati magum lokancham lokan jukulkanjitam invasadvasatam yevametam adhyaksham ahamadhyaksham ehameham adhyaksham pratamajam vedam satyam brahmeti satyagum heva brahma. So that is the sentence that is quoted from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. And the second thing that we want to also clarify is, this is the second thing we want to clarify. And there is also a third one also we have to, you know, we have to understand clearly. The 11th Sutra, Badari refers to Kurma Purana. That reference where Badari pointed out Saguna Upasaka will go to Brahmaloka only. And he will get to go to Brahmoksha not by the power of Upasana, but by getting Brahmajnanam, and he will gain Jivan Mukti. Because from Kurma Puranam, because it's a Puranic statement, Smriti statement, we have to understand it exactly like this. He will go to Brahmaloka, he has to gain Jnanam there by going through the gaining Jnanam only, he can go to Moksha, Jivan Mukti. And at the time of Mahapralayam, in which the whole Brahmaloka and all 14 lokas will dissolve, and Brahmaji will get Videhi Mukti also, and all the Upasakas also will gain Jnanam by then and by that time, and then they also will gain liberation. So Mahapralaya is indicated there by Prati Sancharaha in that mantra from Kurma Purana that I just read. Mahapralaya is indicated by Prati Sancharaha. Literally, it means going back, or it is returning. Going back to the root. The here root is Ishvara. They all go back, like they get laya into Ishvara. It is an event in which all jivas, all lokas, they go back to the karanam, that is Brahman. This is called pralayaha here. And the fourth point also is, a question now is, does everyone who goes to Brahmaloka gain jnanam? It's a loaded question, because every day people ask the question, if I go to Brahmaloka, is it guaranteed I'll gain jnanam? So, you see, everyone who goes to Brahmaloka gets Jnanam and Mukti. And is it natural even? And all people will gain Mukti. This is the question if you go to Brahmaloka. Or are there exceptions who go there and manages not to attend the classes and do not gain Jnanam? Do we have such returning Upasakas? Is the question. The answer is, there also returning ones, Upasakas, are there. Most of the Upasakas gain moksha and gaining Jnanam, but there are some Upasakas who return and they are called what? Abrahma Bhuvanat Lokatim Punaravartino Arjuna, as we saw in Bhagavad Gita. And then the question comes, when Upasaka, when which Upasaka will get Kramamukti and which one will fail in Kramamukti, Kramamukti examination, who will fail? For that, we will study next Adhikaranam and the answer will become clear in the next Adhikaranam. Now the next stotra, Param Jaiminihi Mukhyatvat. So now let us see a general analysis of this sutra. And Jaimini says that the word Brahman occurring in the 4th chapter, 15th section, 5th mantra of Khandyoga Upanishad refers to Param Brahman only. Therefore, Jaimini says, Saguna Upasakas, you have to be all careful in understanding all these words. Saguna Upasakas, who travel via Shukla Gati, will go to Vidyut Loka. Yesterday we saw all these various lokas. Will go to Vidyut Loka and Amanava Purusha will take him to Param or infinite Brahman only. And therefore there is no question of going to Brahma Loka and gaining Nirguna Jnanam and all that. Saguna Upasakas, who travel via Shukla Gati, will go to Vidyut Loka and an Amanava Purusha will take him to Param Brahman or infinite Brahman only, and therefore there is no question of going to Brahma Loka and gaining Nirguna Jnanam there. And that is in between, this is stop is there. Further, Jaimini says, the word Brahman used in neutral gender refers to Param Brahman only. So even if it refers to Hiranyagarbha, by implication, that implied meaning is, it's a secondary meaning. So Jaimini says implied meaning is Hiranyagarbha, and between implied and Mukhya meaning, the Mukhya meaning is only stronger. Therefore, Mukhya Artha will take precedence over the secondary Artha. So Upasaka attains Mukti directly because the word is Brahman. Now let us do the words analysis. Param Jaiminihi Mukhyatvat. Our refutation we will do at the end. Now Jaimini declares that Param in Chandogya Upanishad 4.15.5 that I just referred to, that word Brahman refers to Param Brahman only and not Saguna Brahman, Hiranyagarbha, Brahma Loka, that all that, it doesn't. Why? Mukhyatvat, because that is the primary meaning. This is the running meaning. Now the significance of the words we see. Param refers to Param Brahman. By this, he excludes Hiranyagarbha. When you say Param Brahman, by that, he excludes Hiranyagarbha, Parichinna Brahma is excluded. The context is the Upasaka, he goes to Param Brahman alone through Shukla Gati. This is whose argument is this? This is Jaimini's argument. The Upasaka, he goes through Shukla Gati and then go to Param Brahman only, not any Brahma Loka and all that. His logic is what? Mukhyatvat. It means that is the primary meaning. And primary meaning is always stronger. And he says, you Badari, he addresses Badari, sage Badari. And he says, addresses to him, you have taken over a weaker meaning. You have taken a weaker meaning, whereas my meaning is the Mukhya Artha, it is stronger. Therefore, you are weaker. That is what his contention about Badari. And in Chandogya Upanishad 4th chapter 15th mantra, 15th section 5th mantra says, there is also, it is said, Brahma Gamayati. The words are Brahma Gamayati. Thus, this is the first argument of Jaimini. Now we will see the Brahma Gamayati also refers to Nirgunam Brahman only, Param Brahman. Now we will give the next argument in the next sutra. Darshanachya. Another simple sutra. Darshanachya, 13th sutra, 3rd pada, 4th chapter, 530th running Brahma Sutra. Now let me give the general analysis of this sutra. Here, Jaimini quotes another Shruti Vakyam to his conclusion. To support his conclusion, he quotes another Shruti Vakyam. And he says, Upasaka gets direct moksha is his conclusion. And his opinion is that there is no Kramamukti at all. No Kramamukti and all. Upasaka directly gets moksha. And he quotes a Shruti Vakyam from Kathopanishad, 2nd chapter, 16th mantra. This mantra also we have seen earlier in other contexts. ಶತಂಚೈಕಾಚ ಹೃದಯಸ್ಯ ನಾಡ್ಯಃ ತಾಸಾಂ ಮೂರ್ಧಾನಂ ಅಭಿ ನಿಸೃತೈಕ ತಯೋಹೋ ಊರ್ಧ್ವಂ ಆಯನ್ ಅಮೃತತ್ವಮೇತಿ ಅಂಡ್ ಆಲ್ ದಟ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ ವಿ ಗಾಟ್ ವಿ ಸಾ ಇಟ್ ಅರ್ಲಿಯರ್. ಸೊ ದಟ್ ಡಿಕ್ಲೇರ್ಸ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಅಪ್ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಉತ್ಕ್ರಮಣೇ ಭವಂತಿ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಅಪ್ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಬೈ ದಟ್ ಹಿ ರೀಚಸ್ ಇಮ್ಮಾರ್ಟಾಲಿಟಿ ಅಮೃತತ್ವಂ ಏತಿ. ಸೊ ಊರ್ಧ್ವಂ ಆಯನ್ going upwards. So this mantra says Upasaka travels through Sushumna Nadi and travels through Shukla Marga, Shukla Gati, and attains immortality. That is his contention. And Jaimini argues, when you say Upasaka reaches immortality, you have to refer to Parambrahman only, because Brahmaloka is not immortal. Brahmaloka is not immortal, Parambrahman is. Parambrahman alone is immortal. So the word Amritatvam in this mantra, that also refers to Parambrahman only. So Chandogya Upanishad Vakyam also must refer to Parambrahman only and not Hiranyagarbha is his conclusion. Therefore Upasaka gets what? Mukti directly. Directly he gets Mukti. This is the general analysis of this sutra. Now let us see the words analysis of the sutra. Darshanath. Darshanath means from revelation of Shruti, from revelation of Veda mantras. Also the fourth chapter, 15th section, fifth mantra of Chandogya Upanishad, that is also, it says Parambrahman only. Now if you see the significance of these words, because of the another clarifying statement, which is the one from Kathopanishad, that is also in favor of Jaimini. That's what he quotes that. There is another statement also from Kathopanishad, from the second chapter, third section, 16th mantra also is in favor. So this is the crucial support for Jaimini. And the word cha is conjunction, and this adds this argument as second argument to the one given in previous sutra. So this cha is conjunction. So previous argument was given, and the conjunction says this is the second argument, it implies. Upasaka does not go to Brahmaloka and does not get jnanam, etc. there, but he gets moksha directly. That is Jaimini's argument. Let us go to the next sutra, 14th sutra of this Adhikaranam. Nacha karye pratipadya bisandhi. Nacha karye pratipadya bisandhi. 14th Sutra, 3rd Pada, 4th Chapter, 531st Running Brahma Sutra. Now let us see a general analysis of this sutra. Here, Jaimini assumes Badari will quote another Shruti Vakyam for his support. So he assumes, Jaimini assumes that Badari may quote another Shruti Vakyam for his support. Therefore, he wants to forestall that possibility, preempt that. That you may take another vakyam in your favor that is not supporting you. So he tries to preempt him. Now we have to see that vakyam and how it supports Badari. And Jaimini has to say that it does not support Badari. They support him when he analyzes. Now he quotes a mantra from Chandogya Upanishad, 8th chapter, 14th section, the first mantra. Akasho vai nama nama rupayoho nirvihita te yadantara tad brahma tad amrutam saha atma prajapatehe sabham veshma prapadye. This is the important word. We are going to analyze that. Atma prajapatehe sabham veshma prapadye yeshoham bhavamim ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಣಾನಾಂ ಯಶೋ ರಾಜ್ಯಾಂ ಯಶೋ ವಿಷಾಂ ಯಶೋಹಂ ಅನುಪ್ರಾಪತಿ ಸಹಾಹಂ ಯಶಸಾಂ ಯಶಃ. ಸೊ ಆಲ್ ದಟ್ ಮಂತ್ರಾಸ್ ಹಿ ಈಸ್ ಟ್ರೈಂಗ್ ಟು ಸೇ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದಿ 8th ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 14th ಸೆಕ್ಷನ್ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಮಂತ್ರ. ಅಂಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಮಿಡಲ್ ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ದಿ ಸ್ಟೇಟ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಪ್ರಜಾಪತೇ ಸಭಾಂ ವೇಷ್ಮ. ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಒನ್ important was Sabham Veshma Prapadye. That section is only important to us. In Chandogya Upanishad, 6th chapter, there are two big portions. In the 6th chapter. First 6th chapter, they talk about Saguna Brahma Upasana, and from 7th section, first 6th, from 7th section to 12th section, another 6 khandas, they deal with Nirguna Brahman. So first six deal with saguna brahma upasana, second six deal with nirguna brahma vidya or jnanam, which is called dahara vidya in that portion. We have seen all this. It is called dahara vidya because in both Brahman is invoked in the hridaya akasha. Dahara means alpa akasha, the small space obtaining within the heart. So the word vidya is used for jnanam here. Saguna jnanam or nirguna jnanam, we interpreted and pointed out that both will give moksha. Saguna jnanam and nirguna jnanam. But there is slight difference. And dahara vidya, one is being saguna upasana will give krama mukti. The dahara vidya being saguna upasana will give only krama mukti, which means upasaka will travel to Brahmaloka and then get liberation there. And the dahara vidya number two. So we said both dahara vidya, both the things we said, saguna nirguna jnanam. So dahara vidya number two, one gets jnanam and gets liberation directly. So nirguna brahman as turiyam is revealed in dahara vidya number two. Dahara vidya number one gives krama mukti. Dahara vidya number two gives nirguna brahman jnanam. And after the six sections of dahara vidya number two, 12 sections are over. So first six sections, saguna upasana. Second six section, nirguna jnana. And in 13 and 14, we get a prarthana by dahara vidya practitioner. So now first we have seen up to 12. And in 13 and 14, we get a prarthana by the dahara vidya practitioner. And their prayer is, that I should travel without any obstacles to Brahmaloka. So after doing all that, that practitioner, dahara vidya practitioner, he has a prayer. And in that prayer, he says, I should travel without any obstacles to Brahmaloka. And Amanava Purusha should come and reach Brahmaloka. And this prayer is given by the Upasaka. Actually, he has to, Amanava Purusha, to come and take him to Brahmaloka. So now, Nirmaguna Brahmajnani will not pray for liberation because he knows he is one with Brahma. I hope you understand the doubt. Saguna Brahma Upasana and Nirguna Brahmajnanam are both given. But after the 12 sections are over, the 13 and 14 section has got a prarthana by the practitioner of dahara vidya, and who prays that he wants to travel to Brahmaloka without obstacles. And he wants an Amanava Purusha to come and take him. Now, Nirguna Brahmajnani, if he was a Nirguna Brahmajnani, he will not pray for liberation because he knows he is one with Brahman already. So one prayer is given here. And similar prayer is there in Isavasya Upanishad also. And Badari follows, followers, they can take this mantra also as their support. So here the Upasaka clearly says, may I reach Sabham Veshman. Sabham Veshman. Extraordinary hall. May I reach an extraordinary hall. Sabha Veshman. Which belongs to whom? Karyam Brahman Hiranyagarbha. And Veshman means residence of Hiranyagarbha. That is Brahmaloka. So in this prayer, the Upasaka clearly asks, I should go to Brahmaloka and go to the residence of Hiranyagarbha, which is discussed in Chandogya Upanishad, 8th chapter, 5th section, 3rd mantra that we just read. It clearly talks of finite hall of finite Hiranyagarbha, Sabham Veshma. From this it is clear, Upasaka doesn't go to Parambrahman, but he goes to Hiranyagarbha, who occupies a palatial hall. Hiranyagarbha's assembly is a huge hall. Therefore, Badari people, supporters of Badari, they say he does not go to Brahman, but he goes to only Brahma Loka. We said, Jaiminis people said he goes to Brahman. Whereas Badari people say he does not go to Brahman, but he goes to Brahma Loka. So assuming that Badari answers, so that will be a question come. How do you get that meaning? One can ask that, because one can ask Badari that question. How can you assume that meaning? Because Badri assumes and answers. For that, Jaimini says, you read the previous line. And that begins with Brahma, Tad Brahma, Tad Amritam. That is used in the meaning of Param Brahman. the infinite one. So Sarvagatam Brahman is stated there. There is controversy there. Since the beginning of section, this beginning of section is with Param Brahman, and so the Prakaranam should also be Param Brahman only. So the context should be watched clearly. Since context is Prakarana Brahman, therefore Prajapati should refer to Param Brahman only, and therefore Upasaka prayer also should be to Prajapati Sabha. Prajapati Sabha, Hiranyagarbha Sabha, Sabham Veshma, which means Param Brahman only also there, and therefore this prayer does not favor Badari and it favors me, Jaimini, only. That means directly a person will reach Param Brahman. This is the general analysis of this sutra. Now let us see the word analysis. Nacha karye pratipadyabhi sandhihi. Cha means nacha. Cha means moreover. Pratipati abhisandhihi, the desire to attain Brahman. Na karye is not with regard to karyam Brahman. That is Hiranyagarbha. This is the running name. Now the significance of the verse is karye. Karye refers to Hiranyagarbha, karyam Brahman. Pratipati abhisandhi. Pratipati abhisandhi here means refers to prayer of the upasaka. It means sankalpa also. It is a prayer, desire and all that. It is prapti sankalpa. This is the hope of the upasaka before dying. It is done by the upasaka. And the controversy is what? Whether this refers to Hiranyagarbha or Param Brahman, that is the controversy. Na karye. The prayer is not there for reaching Brahma Loka, but to reach Brahman only. Na karye, na karyam Brahma here. It is not for reaching Brahma Loka, but to gain Brahma Jnanam only. It gives an impression that it refers to a place, but here Prajapati means Param Brahman only. That is his conclusion. So something like anticipatory bail. Even before Badri quotes, Jaimini says, do not take this Shruti Vakyam and take my conclusion as correct. So don't take this, take my conclusion as correct. With this, Jaimini's arguments are also over. Now the judgment time has come now. Shankara writes a very big bhashyam actually, running to several pages on this mantra. And most of them, we are reasonably familiar with them. And we will discuss the essence of that portion. We will spend some time on understanding that portion. And Shankaracharya will establish that Jaimini Matam is only a Purvapakshi and is not correct. That is, a Upasaka will go directly to Param Brahman is not correct. More of Shankara's arguments will be there, that Badri Matam is correct and Upasaka will go to Brahmaloka only, whereas Badri Matam, that is Badri says that Upasaka will go to only Brahmaloka, not directly to Param Brahman, not to Param Brahman, that will be established. And in Brahmaloka, he has to study Vedanta and gain Jnana. So if you are to conclude Badri Matam, supporting arguments have been given by Badri himself and Shankaracharya has to negate Jaimini's arguments. There is Badri versus Jaimini. And refutation of these three is hinted by Badri. We have to take appropriate answer and refute Jaimini. Jaimini, what he says first, that the word Brahman refers to all-pervading Brahman only. Word Brahman refers to all-pervading Brahman only. For this, he said, we should take the primary meaning of Brahman. He said Brahman in neutral gender cannot convey the secondary meaning because it is in neutral gender, cannot convey the secondary meaning. Answer is hinted by Badri. Badri says that meaning is primary, all right, but when you take the meaning, it goes against the reasoning. It is against yukti, logic. It goes against anumana and pratyaksha pramanas. It is because Jaimini says Upasaka will reach all pervading Brahman. It is evidently contradiction, and all-pervading Brahman is that one that has already reached, and reaching and reached is mutually contradictory. All-pervading means already reached. Where is that to reach? You are already there. You can reach Calcutta or any other city, but you cannot reach all-pervading space because space everywhere. Reaching is what? Travel is from a place you are to a place where you are not. When space is all-pervading, where is the question of reaching it? The interpretation you should take primary meaning first, and if it contradicts other pramanas, then you get logical meaning. And then the rule is you can give up the primary meaning and use secondary meaning. And the most well-known sentence is what? Tattvamasi, Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam. He talks about Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam. And that is why we take the meaning of pure consciousness, because there is no question of Aikyam of Jivatma and Paramatma, because they are Aikyam. Jivatma Paramatma is one. That's why we take the meaning of pure consciousness. And in this regard, Shankaracharya, Vakya Vritti, there is a Grantha by Shankaracharya, and the 47th shloka says, that is a Mana Antara Virodhe, Virodhe Thum, Mukhyarthasya Parigrahe, Mukhyarthena Vina Bhute, Pratitir Lakshanochyate. That is the mantra. So, if you respect first the primary meaning, and after taking that, if the conveyed meaning is illogical, first you take the primary meaning. After taking that, if the meaning is illogical against other pramanams, then you take the secondary meaning, that is not illogical. Second meaning you can take, not illogical. This is the rule. So primary meaning is all pervading Brahman only. And when we say Upasaka, reaching the all-pervading Brahman is jarring to your ears, and hence give up primary meaning and take such a meaning that is acceptable. That is why Badri says, Gati Upapattehe, argument alone is logically fitting. That argument alone is logically fitting. Logically fitting, secondary meaning is superior than logically unfitting primary meaning. Therefore, Mukhyatva argument is not proper, is Padari's conclusion. With this, the first argument of Jaimini is refuted. Now we will take up the second argument of Jaimini, occurring in the 13th Sutra. And he takes up the Kathopanishad example from the second chapter, third section, 16th mantra. Shatanjaika Chakradayasya Nadyaha Tasa Murdhanam Abhinishritaikam Tayohom Tayordhvam This also we have seen that mantra earlier. He says that Upasaka will reach immortality. Amritattvameti. So Jaimini argues that Upasaka reaches immortality means what? It should be Nirguna Brahman only, because immortality is associated with all pervading Brahman. Hiranyagarbha is not associated with this all pervading Brahman because it's localized. Then how will you link Brahma Loka and immortality? And Shankaracharya gives a different answer. We have already hinted the answer in the 10th Sutra discussion itself earlier, that the Upasaka is going to Brahma Loka only, and Upasaka will gain immortality also, thereby gaining jnana. Therefore, my statement is also right, and Kathopanishad's statement is also correct. He goes to Brahma Loka is correct, and he attains moksha is also correct. In Brahma Loka, he attains jnanam, and then he attains immortality without traveling, and therefore Krama Mukti is our answer to your question. And he attains moksha not directly but indirectly. There is no logical contradiction, and contradiction to the scriptural statement also is not there. Now we go to the third argument in the 14th Sutra. There Jaimini tried to refute a possible argument of Badari that a prayer given by the Upasaka, as I mentioned in the 8th chapter, 14th section, 1st mantra of Chandogya, Prajapatehe Sabham Veshma. That prayer seems to be favorable to Badari. Therefore, Jaimini is worried about Badari. The prayer says, I should reach palatial hall of Hiranyagarbha, Brahmaji. From this prayer, it is clear that Upasaka is going to Brahmaloka only. So if Badri claims so, Jaimini says, you don't quote the prayer, and in that prayer, it refers to all pervading Brahman only. In the prayer, it refers to all pervading Brahman. Even though golden hall of Brahmaloka is dictionary meaning, he says, you don't take dictionary meaning, but take it as Brahman all pervading. For that, he gave the reason, just before the prayer, look at the previous sentence that it talks about Param Brahman only. This is Jaimini argues. All this, don't cling on to all this golden hall, big hall and all that. Before that, it talks about only Param Brahman only. So all pervading Brahman is the beginning of the section, and therefore it deals with all pervading Brahman only. It is called Prakaranam actually. So because of that all-pervading Brahman and keeping the total context in mind, you have to interpret the intermediary statement also, that is his contention. And because of this, you should refer to Brahman only, is what Jaimini says. So Prakarana is one of the six Pramanams under the Mimamsa rule. So the context is, you know, Jaimini is a Purva Mimamsa. The context is a valid means of interpreting Shastra that Badri has to refute actually. And Shankaracharya has to refute because Shankaracharya joined Badri Mata. So we say that Shruti Vakyam directly mentions Brahma Loka Sabha only. Sabha only and not the pure Brahman. Whereas from the standpoint of Prakaranam, based on the first section, it should be in Parambrahma. Shruti Vakyam reveals Brahma Loka and the context reveals Brahman. Brahman is Parambrahma. For me, Pramanam is Shruti, and for Jaimini Matam is total context. So when the two contradict each other, we have to find which one wins. Now Shankaracharya asked Jaimini that you have written a sutra which says Prakarana Pramanam is weaker than Shruti Vakya Pramanam. Jaimini himself has written a sutra. In Jaimini Sutra, there he says Prakarana Pramanam is weaker than Shruti Vakya Pramanam. So the conclusion is Shruti Vakyam, that Brahmaloka is correct and not Brahman, which is a weaker Pramana. So after refuting all these arguments, Shankaracharya gives a general series of arguments. Actually, we will just only mention maybe a couple of arguments, points here. And one point Shankaracharya emphasizes is traveling and reaching an infinite goal is illogical. Traveling and reaching an infinite goal is illogical. After death, travel and reaching all-pervading Lord, and how come nobody applies the intellect and see the contradiction here? He asked this question. How can you reach the all-pervading Bhagavan? If he is limited, it is understandable. But if he is all-pervading, that is the question of reaching. We already mentioned this earlier. Then Jaimini group, they suggest, why cannot you say that one part of all-pervading Brahman and Upasaka goes to that another part of Brahman? So one part is all-pervading Brahman and the Upasaka reads another part. Why can't you assume like that? Jaimini asks. Why can't you say that Bhagavan of local earth and one in Vaikuntha, etc., all that kind of arguments. One gives inferior security, the Bhagavan of local earth, and Bhagavan in Vaikuntha is give another place who give better security. Why can't you take it that way? And Shankaracharya says, I would be happy to accept your statement, but I cannot, because Bhuloka has got parts and one part has got to be superior attribute and another inferior attributes, and with respect to earth, that is okay. But unfortunately, Upanishad does not accept such parts for Bhagavan, because Bhagavan is Nishkalam. He is partless. All-pervading space itself is partless. And where is the question of Bhagavan has parts? And how can you say one part is inferior and another part is superior? And Shankaracharya says, Bhagavan has no attributes. Where is the question of better Bhagavan in Vaikuntha and inferior Bhagavan in the earth? Bhagavan is attribute less. You cannot say space is dirty, room is dirty, space in clean room is clean. All those arguments one cannot bring. Space is clean. When you say space is dirty, it is only an expression. Hence, how can you say Nirguna Brahman has gradation in different lokas? Bhagavan is here. I need not go to Vaikuntha. Even go to Bholoka Vaikuntha. You don't have to go. Right here, Bhagavan is there. Everywhere, he is all pervading. I can get Bhagavan here itself. For reaching Bhagavan, you need not have to go anywhere. And the next point is, the destination or the goal to be reached must be distinct from the traveler. The destination or the goal to be reached must be different from the distinct from the traveler. Both have to be different. I want to go, for example, Ganga. I am not Ganga. There is difference between the reached and the person going to reach. And this Beda is precondition for any travel. They are saying the same thing in different words. If Jivatma has to travel and reach Paramatma, the precondition is Jivatma and Paramatma must be different. Then only I can say I can reach Brahman. There is no question of travel of Jivatma going to Paramatma. You say it is symbolic, means it is understandable. He travels upwards, downwards, etc. They are all not acceptable. If there is actual traveling, we don't question the possibility, but it has nothing to do with Jivatma, Paramatma, Aikyam. The moment you talk about Aikyam and all, no travel. It has nothing to do with Jivatma, Paramatma, Aikyam. Then Shankaracharya brings the previous Adhikaranam also here, and he establishes that Jivatma is neither different from Paramatma nor part of Paramatma. Therefore, Shankaracharya re-establishes the Jivatma, Paramatma, Aikyam. For what purpose? To show that there is no travel possible. Therefore, Gati Nivrityartham Aikyasthapanam. To establish the Gati Nivrityartham, travel. To remove the travel concept. Aikyasthapanam. Further, he brings in the previous Adhikaranam, Nyadhikaranam, of the second chapter, third pada, 12th Adhikaranam. And he brings that as an example. And also in the third and fifth. So, Ubhaya Linga Adhikaranam of Brahma Sutra. And the third pada, fifth Adhikaranam, that is Ubhaya Linga Adhikaranam of Brahma Sutra, analyzes the nature of Jivatma and Paramatma. Where Jivatma and Paramatma and the relationship is elaborately analyzed. So he re-established the Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam. Both are infinite Chaitanya. They are one and the same, and the relationship is no relationship because they are not different. If there is no question of traveling, therefore there is no question of traveling. They are one and the same. And then one more point also Shankaracharya tries to bring out is in The third point he gives is based on the Adhikaranam from the 4.2.6, sixth Adhikaranam of Brahma Sutra. In the fourth chapter, second pada, sixth Adhikaranam of Brahma Sutra. So it is Pratishedha Adhikarana. Pratishedha Adhikaranam is the one he is now trying to bring it here. Something happened. Why things are not? My screen is frozen, I guess. Yeah, I think I am back. Yeah. My screen was temporarily frozen for whatever reason it is. So there is this Ubhaya Linga Adhikaranam of Brahma Sutra. It analyzes the nature of Jivatma and Paramatma, where Jivatma and Paramatma and the relationship, it is elaborately analyzed in that section. And he re-establishes Jivatma and Paramatma, both are infinite Chaitanya only. They are one and the same, and the relationship is no relationship possible. So there is no question of traveling. And now from the fourth chapter, second pada, sixth Adhikaranam, of Brahma Sutra itself, there is this Adhikaranam called Pratishedha Adhikaranam, where Shankaracharya points out the Upanishad clearly, and he said that a jnani reaches Brahman without travel. Na tasya pranaha utkramanti. This is the sentence. Also refers to the fourth section, the sixth mantra, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the jnani attains Brahman without travel. He is giving, I'm not giving the sloka, the actual sloka and all, but I'm only alluding to all of them. So Jivatma does not travel to reach Brahman, atra Brahma samashnute. When jnani attains Brahma without travel, how can you say Upasaka attains Brahman through travel? Destination remaining the same, how can you travel about travel? Talk about travel. So, because of this reason, also there is no question of reaching Brahman by travel. Thereafter, Shankaracharya goes to various other topics also in his Bhashyam, because it's a big Bhashyam running to several pages. He brings in Purva Mimamsa and all other arguments. So, they all can be, we have seen some of those things earlier in earlier context, various ways. But I'm not going to go through all of them because it is very elaborate. Many of them are already known or familiar to us. So I'm going to skip that section of the big Bhashyam Shankaracharya has written. So with this, the fifth adhikaranam is over. Kramamukti is the topic. Upasaka attains Kramamukti only by traveling through Shukla Gati and reaching Brahmaloka and attains Jnanam and Kramamukti. So that is the substance of this adhikarana, fifth adhikaranam, sabbika adhikaranam. And we will see the next adhikarana, sixth adhikaranam, in the next class. Yo veda dausvara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakdilina seya parasamaheshwaraha purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vasishyate om shanti 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 shri gurubhyo namaha harihi om shri krishna arpanamastu namaha.